Hey everybody, thanks for listening to Dr. Stevie and Mr. Boyd's Omnios Triceratops. This is Mr. Boyd here.
And over here we've got little Dr. Stevie.
Hey, Dr. Stevie. How you doing tonight?
Oh, not too bad. Just sitting here looking at some books, talking about some fun stuff.
Oh.
How you doing tonight, Mr. Boyd?
Oh, you know, just, you know, as I'm awaiting the big release of the Nintendo Switch, just getting ready with some Zelda. What you reading there, Dr. Steven?
Oh, actually, I am looking right now at, I have two books in front of me. I have both the Hyrule Historia and the Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword Guide.
Oh, hey, I think this is a perfect start to this whole discussion, this whole podcast. Let's talk a little bit about some Zelda, and specifically something that's been bugging me for quite a while. Opinions on Skyward Sword.
Oh.
Yeah.
Opinions on Skyward Sword for our first podcast.
Yep. Yep, that's, we're going there. We're going there.
This is going to be an interesting podcast for
yep,
sure.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. So, I guess I'll start here. So,
All right, go ahead.
So, Skyward Sword, right? Interesting idea of a game. Got an awesome story, like, a fantastic story to it. I played through it, I beat it, I love the story to the game, and honestly, it's the only Zelda game that I've only beaten once. Only beaten that game once.
Only once.
And, you know, like, every time I try to come back to that game, every single time, I just stop. Because I just get so hindered by the controls of that game. It just takes too much time to get used to the controls. And just, it's too much. So I often stop. But I get mad at myself because I know how good of a game it is. Or at least how good of a game it could be. And I just stop. So I think in my last playthrough of Skyward Sword, I was playing it on my Wii U, and I think I just beat the third dungeon, and I just stopped. I just couldn't do it anymore. What about you? What about you, Dr. Stevie? What are your thoughts here?
Well, Mr. Boyd, as you know from previous experience, I absolutely adore Skyward Sword.
Oh, I know.
I think it is the greatest Zelda game ever made. And, you know, it's just absolute perfection.
Dr. Stevie, be honest. Give the audience the hard truth. I know you're trying to soften the blow, but give them the hard truth.
I hate Skyward Sword.
Oh, man.
I'm a huge Zelda fan.
Of course.
I mean, I've played Zelda since I can remember playing video games. And other than the CDI games, which we don't really talk about, it is the only Zelda game I've actually never been able to fully get through.
Oof.
And I've gotten through all of them. I mean, I've gotten through bad ones, too. Like, I've gotten through Phantom Hourglass, which,
Might
be another story for another day.
Yeah, yeah.
Spirit Tracks. I mean, I've gotten through everything. Zelda 2, which is super hard. The original Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
But never Skyward Sword. And it's not like I didn't give it a fair shake. I got pretty far into it. I think the farthest I got was to the Thunderhead, which is pretty far. Like, the game has problems. A lot of problems.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the story for me couldn't save it. Because Zelda's really, you know... The story is sometimes can be lacking.
Of course.
Skyward Sword had a pretty good story, but it was just everything else.
Yeah, no, I see where you're coming from. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's start off. Let's talk about, obviously, the number one problem most people, including myself, have with Skyward Sword, which is the motion controls.
Yeah. They are
motion controls in that game.
Yeah, they're pretty atrocious.
If I could remake the game without motion controls, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I agree.
Because, I don't know, everything about it is just it's just a game. It's just frustrating. I don't know. Like, there's times when it's cool, like when you're fighting Ghirahim.
Yeah.
It's just it's like, an, it's that's an, cool.
It's an overly done gimmick.
What?
It's an overly done gimmick in the game. I think that's the main issue.
Like, everything is motion control. Like, flying your bird, which, like, okay, is also, we'll talk a little bit about that, but the motion controls on it, like, aren't great. And then they just, this is the thing that bugged me, they add motion controls everywhere that they don't even need.
Yep.
Like, okay, you know what, always the one thing I go back to that I think about, and it doesn't really have a lot to do with the motion control, but it's like, you know when you're going to the boss rooms in that game?
Yeah.
You get, like, the boss key.
The puzzle?
Like, rotate it around.
Yep.
And, like, figure out the way it goes. Like, why? is that fun? Like, do people find that fun? I don't think that's fun. I'm like, I just want to get to the boss. I don't want to have to spend, you know, 45 seconds rotating this 3D object around until it goes in the hole.
No, man, you're right. You got a point there.
Like, oh, here's this really cool boss fight on the other side. Now take 45 seconds and rotate this object around until it fits perfectly.
Dude, there have been times where I would sit there for like a good like 2 minutes, just like, God damn it, it's just gotta go this one specific way, and then I'm good. And then when I get it there, it's like, oh, wait, there's this spot here that I just can't fit it in there. So no, I totally get that. That makes sense. And again, it's an overly done gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Like, I even remember, do you remember when you get the beetle?
Of course, yeah. Iconic
weapon. The flying beetle?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, like, cool idea, cool mechanic. And, like, I would say, like, 80% of the time I didn't have a problem with the motion controls. But then there's some times when, like, I'd want to make, like, a really sharp turn, but because, you know, maybe it wasn't synced up correctly enough, or it didn't, you know, essentially the way I needed to.
Yeah.
It wouldn't do what I wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily there's very little consequence. I mean, I don't find the game particularly hard. It's just frustrating. It just wears on you.
Yeah.
I feel the motion controls.
See, the thing about, like, jumping on really quick when you were saying about, like, the game not being particularly hard. The problem with the game is it has a learning curve. So, like, I mentioned to you earlier that my intention is, right now I'm currently playing Twilight Princess HD, awesome game on the Wii U, playing that over right now, and if I have time before Breath of Wild comes out on the Switch, then I want to try to finish this playthrough of Skyward Sword, my second one. And I'm a little hesitant because the game's got a really terrible learning curve. Like, I mean, there's a reason that's the only Zelda game to start you with 6 hearts. I mean, and that to me was surprising when I first popped that game into my Wii when I got it. It was like, whoa, I have 6 hearts. What the heck? And then I realized when I got into the first dungeon, I need those 6 hearts because I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, like, when you're doing that I feel like it has the worst kind of difficulty, and it's not from, like, an actual challenge, it's just overcoming the controls, because once you get the controls, the game's easy, and I totally agree with that, because, like, on my first and only, I guess, complete playthrough of the game, I mean, I didn't do everything in the game, but I did a ton. I mean, I got through the game pretty easily, and the final boss to me was a breeze. Honestly, I had a harder time with the final Ghirahim fight in that game, which to me was a real challenge. But the final boss demise, the final boss of the game, I really didn't have a difficult time with. It was just timing. And I mean, at that point, I had been playing the game for like a week straight. I mean, I had the controls down at that point, so for me, that fight's super easy. But initially jumping into the game, so, like, if I get a chance to and I jump back into Skyward Sword, I'm probably going to get my ass kicked, and I'm not looking forward to that. Because, I mean, again, difficulty in the wrong ways. It's a learning curve difficulty. It's not like the game is legitimately hard. Good luck. I mean, I could play through A Link Between Worlds on, hero mode? And I mean, I'll die. But I'm dying because it's an actual challenge. I mean, you have less hearts and all that kind of stuff. And that's an actual challenge. But for me to get destroyed, for me to lose and get game over because of controls, I'm a little upset about that.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the problem. Like, okay, think about, like, we'll go back to, like, we'll even go back to the first Zelda.
Okay.
So, like, that game, like, it's hard. You start with three hearts. You know, it's obviously a learning curve. But the one thing it has going for it is that, you know, the controls on it are super tight.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, for the most part, all the 2D Zelda games are super tight. It's, you know, sometimes when you get into 3D, it doesn't work out the best.
No.
But,
no.
You know, that's why we have Z targeting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when you add motion controls in on top of that, that's where the problem comes.
Yeah. I mean, don't get... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't understand, like, the reasoning. Okay, like, I remember I played Twilight Princess on the Wii back when I got it in, like...
Same here.
2006, in, like, November 2006.
Yep.
And, like, the motion controls were very minimal. But, like, they were cool. Like, they were just enough. And then, like, because, you know, it was really built for the GameCube, that game.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, like, ported over to the Wii.
Yeah, I was actually, I was about to say the same exact thing as you, so please continue. I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention that. I was about to say it. Go ahead.
Skyward Sword, though, was made, you know, it was the only game really made for the Wii in terms of Zelda, other than, you know, Link's crossbow training.
Sorry.
Which, by the way, still a better game than Skyward Sword.
Ooh, shots fired. All right.
So with Skyward Sword, like, the most controls just, they're more of a hindrance. They don't add to the game. Like, in Twilight Princess on the Wii, like, yeah, they were very minimal, but, like, they worked well enough, you know. But then they introduced the Motion Plus, and they tried, like, I remember when the Wii first came out.
Me too.
Like, 2006, like,
yep.
Everyone was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait until, like, you know, we can have actual sword fighting again. Like, won't that be really cool? And, like, that was, like, my dream. Like, I remember getting Red Steel.
Me too! And this is gonna just bring me into... We need to have another podcast episode where we talk about old Wii motion control games like Red Steel. But continue on.
Yeah. Just... I got Red Steel because I was like, oh my god, that'd be so cool.
Me
like,
too!
Like a gun, like, with the Wii remote. And...
Go ahead.
You know what? The technology doesn't work the best. Mm-hmm. And I think Nintendo was trying to just push it so hard that, like... I mean, at this point, like, they didn't even have to put motion controls in the Zelda game. Like,
no.
Skyward Sword came out in what, like 2011?
What, like, Skyward Sword? That was
for like 5 years at that point.
Yep.
Like, they had sold millions and millions and millions of consoles. Like, they could have been like, use the Pro Controller. That's it. That's the game. And I'd be like, alright, well, that's fine. But no, they had to hamstring in motion controls in a game that... See, the problem is, though, like, I want to just harp on the motion controls, but it's got so many other problems other than just the motion controls.
I agree.
That, like, the motion controls are, like, the one thing that, like, everyone can harp upon because, yeah, they're bad, but there's so much other bad stuff about that game. I hate Skyward Sword. Have I said that on this podcast yet? I hate Skyward Sword.
Now...
I remember I told you not that long ago, I'm like... You were saying you're going to play Skyward Sword again. I'm like, I'd rather play through Wand of Ganon than Skyward Sword.
That, and you know, this is why I want to start on this topic, too. This is why I want to start on Zelda, specifically Skyward Sword, because those are heavy remarks. And I am going to. I'm the one arguing for that Skyward Sword can be a decent game, but it's hindered by problems, right? And I'll get to my positives soon, but let's keep going on these negatives right now. So I'm going to tell you right now, other than motion controls, the other thing I really hated about Skyward Sword was the build up to dungeons and all the repetitive the repetitive nature of the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was gonna. That was my point. Repetitiveness. But go ahead. Talk a little bit about it.
So for me, something that I felt like was problematic when it came towards, like, for me, a second playthrough. And I mean, the first playthrough, I'm playing the game to beat the game and to say, hey, I've beaten it. And honestly, like when I look back, I totally understand why you didn't finish the game. It has so many problems, and as I'm going back on second playthroughs, and this is not the first time I've started a second playthrough and stopped, this is probably like the fourth time. And I mean, I can talk about how I played through Twilight Princess. This will be like my fourth time playing through Twilight Princess, my first time on the Wii U. I've played through Wind Waker at least 5 times. I've played through Ocarina of Time like 10 times already, different challenges in that game, Majora's Mask so many times. But Skyward Sword, like, and I'm talking main entry games too, like, Skyward Sword is the only game that I've really only played through once and stopped. It feels so repetitive in the worst ways. Like, for me, the first two dungeons are not fun. They're not enjoyable. And, you know, it's mainly because you have this buildup of, oh, you have to do this, then you have to do this, then you have to do this. Oh, there's the dungeon, but first you gotta do this. And it's like, it's not like with, you know, and I'm going to use Twilight Princess as my example right now because that's what I've been playing. You know, at this point in Twilight Princess HD, I just beat the Temple of Time, and I'm on my way to the final dungeon, the Sky Dungeon. And it's like, it's straight to it. And the game is intuitive with, hey, they've given you a hint. Go back to Telma's Bar. They'll give you a hint where to go next. And that's cool. But with Skyward, it's like, oh, you beat this dungeon. Cool. Go back to Skyloft. You'll probably talk to the professor guy. You'll go to a new area. You have to play a little bit of a minigame with the flying of the bird. Drop down and get to an entire new area. Then you have to do, like, 5 side quests to get to the dungeon. But first, then you have to find the key and everything. And at this point, I don't want to see the desert area anymore in that game because I hate the desert minigame where you have to, like, put the batteries in and you have to run around and have them charged up and then you have to do the time stone crap. Awesome concept, by the way. I love the time aspect of that game, which is something I'll get to in a minute. But the repetitive nature of the game, like the having to search here, then here, just drives me crazy. And it's part of the reason I dread playing through that game again. Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have 3 major complaints about Skyward Sword.
Go ahead.
And we've kind of addressed them in order. The first, motion controls.
Yep.
The second one being the repetitive nature of the game. Okay. Like, Zelda-like games at this point, like, Skyward Sword is like the stereotypical Zelda game. Like, okay, we're going to start off, you're going to start in the woods, and then you're going to go to a fireplace, and then you're going to go to a water place. Just kidding, it's sand.
Yeah.
You know, same concept.
Yeah, of course.
So, you start off in Farron Woods, and, like, it's so boring. And then you go to Elden Volcano, and it's just even worse. And then you go to the Lanier Room Mines, which are actually cool. And, like, the concept behind them are cool. And the little robot guys are cool.
Yes.
And then, I don't know, at some point there's the pirate ship, and the pirate ship is cool.
Yes.
The pirate ship is probably my favorite part of that game.
I hate Sam.
But it's just repetitive. Okay. So you fight, how many times do you fight Gearhead in this game? 3 times?
3 times, yeah.
Yeah, 3 times. Okay. The other bosses, I don't know, I really can't remember. I know there's a big guy with a lot of hands.
that was, I think, the, it's like the fourth or, I think, no, it's the fifth dungeon, I think, but yes, there is a dude with a ton of hands.
Yeah. Okay. And there's one monster that I cannot forget.
The Skultus?
That big, stupid, black, giant foot monster.
Oh, the forbidden one. That, I forget the name of it.
Yeah. Let me think. I'll think of its name. But, okay. Honestly, when I think of, like, doing things in my head that I hate about Skyward Sword, like, that is one of them. That boss fight was bad the first time, and it was bad the second time. And I'd like to say I got to it the third time, but I couldn't do the game anymore. Yeah, what is it called? I'll think about it.
Yeah.
But, I have the guide here, actually. I can take a look.
Yeah, I was going to say, look in the guide. I think it's like the...
Oh, the Imprisoned.
The Imprisoned. That's it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, it's not fun. Like, okay, it was cool, like...
It was cool in the opening cutscene.
You're fighting a giant monster.
Yeah.
But you gotta hit its feet, and, like, it just tramples on you, and, like, what you do... Like, there's no feedback on it. Like, you're really not doing anything that affects it. Like, which I get. Like, you know, it's a big, giant, like, Shadow of the Colossus monster that, you know.
But it's not.
Like, it's really... It's just... And you have to fight him three times.
Yeah.
Three times.
And it gets... I mean, obviously, it gets perpetually harder. And, I mean... The problem with that boss fight, and I think you said it very well, is the idea of there's no feedback with that fight. Because I remember fighting it, you have to, like, hit the toes a couple times, and I never feel like I'm doing enough damage, and then all of a sudden it starts moving faster, and it just, it wipes out your health way too fast, which is, it's already a complaint with the game, and on top of the fact, you're on a time limit. And I hate time limits in games. I mean, like, I understand there are gonna be time limits, that's fine, but it's like... When I have a challenging boss fight, and it's challenging for the wrong reasons. It's challenging because of the fact that, you know, I'm not getting a good register of how much damage I'm dealing. Like, most boss fights, you know that you have 3 rounds of attack, and that's usually it. Like, you weaken the boss to where you can attack, you get 3 rounds of attack, and you usually win. I mean,
right.
I guess I should... be specific with, I'm thinking back to 3D Zelda games, because 2D Zelda games are a little bit different with their boss fights, but, you know, like, I'm thinking back to, like, Ocarina of Time, and I'm gonna use that as a reference really quick. I'm not gonna try to harp on just, like, one game, but I'm gonna try to talk about as many as I can. But, like, I think back to, like, Goma, for example. It's like, you knock Goma down, you can usually two or three cycle Goma, depending on how you attack. I mean, you jump attack Goma, it's a 2-cycle. If you just slash Goma, which the casual player who's playing a Zelda game for the first time probably won't realize that jump attacks do more damage, so they're probably just going to start slashing. So that's a 3-cycle fight. And that's something that will go throughout the entire game. They're usually 3-cycle battles. But with the Imprisoned, there's no register of how many cycles you need to get through to beat it. And on top of the fact that the toes feel like they take a lot more hits than they should. It feels like it's a very clumsy battle in general, and I'm not even talking about fight-wise, but just, like, inclusion-wise, like, developed-wise. It feels very clumsy. And don't get me wrong, when you talked about, like, the fact that, like, Ghirahem is a recurring boss, I think it's a cool idea. I actually like the idea that you fight Ghirahem, like, 3 times in the game, because the boss fight's actually fun, and you get a register of what you're doing. And, like, that, fantastic. You can do that. And, I mean, that's solid gameplay development and gameplay mechanics is, you have a boss that you get completely wiped by early game, mid game, you prove yourself, you're getting stronger, end game, you actually finally defeat him at full power, and you feel really good about it. So, like, on a gameplay and, like, a development-wise, Ghirahem multiple times, fantastic idea, and I'm totally cool with it. And that's actually going to kind of bring me into some of my positives, and I'll jump to that in a minute, but we'll kind of clear up here.
All
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me talk a little bit about Gearham, because...
Of course.
See, the thing is, like, with the Imprison, like, I hated the boss fight so much, but no, I agree that, like, the Gearham boss fights are, like, they're challenging in, like, the right way.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, the problem is, like, if the motion controls were a little bit better, like, the fight would be even more, like, you really feel like you're using, like, your skill versus his skill.
Yes.
But then sometimes the motion controls mess up and it ruins it, but that's back to point one. But, so, like, yeah, okay, I played through, like, you know, I didn't even use a guide. I only got the guide because I have the Zelda guide collection.
Yeah, yeah.
So... I remember when I first played through, like, Farron Woods and the Elden Volcano, I was like, eh, lame. And then I went to the Lanier Mines, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, cool, I can't wait to see, like, alright, so, like, I defeat these three, and then, like, something happens, and I have to fight a whole different bunch of, you know, different dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where another problem with Skyward Sword exists, which is the repetitive nature. So you don't get to go to, like, you know, like, and I guess you could argue Ocarina of Time is the, you know, the forest temple, the fire temple, and the water temple, but they're different.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you literally revisit the same places, like, and I get you're different areas of the same places, like, but, like, it's still, like, it's how it makes me feel, and it makes me feel like it's very samey, like, alright, we're gonna use the same area again. Like, and, like, there are parts of the Lanier Mines, like, they're cool. Like, I'll admit that I like that. Like, generally, those parts of the games, other than, like, the quicksand, the battery thing.
Yeah.
Bomb bowling. yeah. But the game itself, let's not harp on it. Let's not get repetitive like Skyward Sword, but the game itself is just repetitive.
Yeah.
Now, let me get into my third topic.
Please.
And then we can get into your positives. Because this is like, there's like a third branch of this game, like a reason why I hate Skyward Sword.
Mm-hmm.
And that reason is...
Okay.
Very simple. This game, like I said earlier, it's not a challenge in that, like, you know, like, yeah, obviously you start with six hearts, but like, no part of the game that I ever feel was hard. Because the game is so hand-holdy, which is my third point. The game is just, like, it's so streamlined and, like, linear. And there's very little you can do outside of, you know, what you're quested to do at that time.
Yeah.
Like, I know everyone always complains about when you pick up items, it tells you what they do every time you pick them up. Like, do I really need to know what, like, a Deku Net does, you know, 40 hours into the game, like, no, I think I figured it out by now.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, all the collectibles and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all very hand-holdy. Like, it's really, like, I don't feel like I'm going on an adventure when I'm playing it. It's more like, I don't know, I think, like, it's like you're at an amusement park. Like, all right, we're gonna walk around and we're gonna see all the cool sights and it's gonna be fun. But you're really not gonna have to worry. It's not a whole lot of a challenge. Like, you're gonna be all right. I think they wanted to try to show off the story a little bit, which, you know, is fine because the story of it, I'm sure you'll talk a bit about in your
yeah.
positive points. But the game just holds your hand the entire time. It doesn't let you break loose and do what you, like, go off the beaten path. Like, you have literally the entire sky. Like, wouldn't it be cool if you could, like, have, like, this open world below where, like, you could just land anywhere and just explore? But no, it's, like, you have very specific things that you have to do. It's not, it's the least Zelda 1 type of Zelda that there's been. It's not open world. It's very closed world. Like, Zelda 1, like, you could go anywhere. Like, you could go to, you know, dungeon, I don't know, we'll say dungeon 3 at the beginning of the game before you even, you can get to Ganon without getting the sword.
Yeah,
like, there's
true.
So much flexibility. Like, that's a problem with Skyward Sword. Like, you're going to play through Skyward Sword again, and I guess this is a problem with, like, all the 3D Zelda games, you know, anything that's open-ended. But specifically Skyward Sword, because I just don't like it. So, like, I don't want to play through it again, because, like, it's the same thing every time. Like, it's going to be exactly the same. You're going to get frustrated at the same things. And I just can't do it. I got really far in the game, and it took me years to get that far.
Yeah, you're really close, man.
I'd put it down for like a year at a time. I'd be like, all right, no, bad. I don't want to do this anymore. And then I'd pick it up, and I'd play for like 10 more hours like a year later. And I'd put it down. And I haven't really picked it up in like over 2 years. I'm like, nope, it's done now. It's over. That's it. And like I said, I've beaten most Zelda games that I've played at least twice.
You beat Phantom Hourglass, which I couldn't do, man.
I beat them all at least twice, Except for Skyward Sword, which I haven't even beat once.
Yeah.
And obviously the CDI game is kind of a CDI.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just... I don't know, I think Zelda's about adventure, and, like, the game itself is very... It's very hand-holding, and it's very... It's very linear. It's like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of games that had that problem, I guess, in that same time frame, where, like, everything was very straightforward, like Final Fantasy 13. Like, you know, Final Hallway 13.
Like, for a reason. You said it, not me.
But, yeah, I mean, and then, you know, I'll get into this in a little bit, but... And then you have another game that comes out, like, 3 years later, and it's A Link Between Worlds, and it's beautiful, because it's the complete opposite. It is the most open-world Zelda game, like, we've gotten since the first one. Like, you can do any of the final, you can get any of the items you need, you can, in any order, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
You can... any of the dungeons in order, in any order you want.
That's a unique idea there.
Depending on what item you get. And, like, that's great. So, like, I've played through A Link Between Worlds, like, at least twice now.
Yep.
I think I started it a third time and then stopped. But, like, you can do something completely different every time. Like, obviously you're going to go through the same dungeon, but, like, Skyward Sword, you're going to play through it, it's going to hold your hand, you're going to go to Space Mountain, you're going to go to Epcot, like, you're at Disney World, like, enjoy the ride. That's why I didn't have to finish Skyward Sword, because it wasn't hard, it wasn't challenging, the motion controls were frustrating, and I could just watch someone else play it and get frustrated with it.
Well said.
Rant over.
Well said, man, well said. And, you know, like, before I guess I jump into the positives of this game, I by no means am saying that because of what I'm about to say, it's the best Zelda game ever. Honestly, Skyward Sword doesn't get to my top five at least. Skyward Sword's probably, I mean, like, if I had to rate Zelda games, I have to really think about it, but just off the top of my head, I can tell you right now that it's like, it's probably going to be down close to the bottom-ish. I mean, I'm going to have Ocarina. I'm going to have Link to the Past. I'm going to have Zelda 2, the first one, Twilight Princess, Wind Waker, Link's Awakening, which is probably my favorite portable Zelda, and I'll get into that another day. All these other games that had a Skyward Sword. And it's because of those problems. It's because of all those problems, and I am in by no means disagreeing with you. You're absolutely right. You know, the fact that the game, you know, you have...
I am, thank you.
Yeah, no. I totally agree. But, like, the fact that you have Fee constantly interrupting you, and, I mean, that's not a new concept either. I mean, you have Navi, you have Midna, you know, you have King of Red Lions. It's an idea that is just to hold your hand and make sure you're not getting over your head and you're not lost. And that's fine. And, I mean... It's no longer, you know, when did Zelda come out? Like, 87 in Japan in 90? No, 87 in Japan, maybe 89 in America. I might have those
maybe
dates.
Maybe 88, I don't know, I wasn't alive.
Yeah, neither was I. And I probably have those dates mixed up, but my whole point is, it's a different time, it's a different era, and you're absolutely right. You know, Miyamoto has said countless times that the whole idea of this game, the series is about adventure. It's about, you know, him recalling what it was like to go on adventures. And the thing about Skyward Sword, and I guess I'll start now by some positives. And we'll start with the obvious positive, the story, okay? So my big thing with Skyward Sword, and it's the reason I want to play it again, is the story is actually really good. And the problem with the game is you have to just push away all the shit to get to the gold that's hidden in there, and it's the story. The story is fantastic. And for me, it was the first time that I ever felt like a really powerful connection with Link, because I felt with him. And it was the first time, for me at least, that at the time, I should say, and be specific, at the time, that I actually felt for the Link as much as I did. I mean, there were times where I had, you know, like, you feel a connection with, you know, like a Link character throughout a series, but there were times in that game where I felt so bad for that character, and I connected with that. And on top of the fact that when you get to the end of the game, and, you know, the whole end game begins, and the idea that you finally found Zelda, and she is essentially, at that moment, it seems like she has been killed. It's like the first time in The Legend of Zelda that I've ever seen a Link that angry and that upset. And at that point, you're literally charging down that mountain, and there's just a swarm of monsters coming towards you, and you're just rushing your way through them. And to me, that was awesome. And that was fantastic. And I actually felt a connection with the character for, like, the first time. Like, a real connection, because I was mad. I was mad, too, because it's like, alright, you expect, this is it, I'm gonna save the princess, and then, like, this happens. And, I mean, you know deep down that it's like, oh, you know, you're gonna have this problem fixed. But at the moment, and at that time, I was like, you suck. And it's like, you feel with him charging into this horde of monsters. And that's awesome. And, I mean, what was cool about the game as well, and I mean, I guess you can do this with any Zelda game too, is the idea of, this is the game that's building the legend, literally. And I mean, I thought it was cool as you're slowly getting powerful and more powerful throughout the game. And don't get me wrong, you know, like, I get anxious when I play because I just want to get the Master Sword. But it's fun for me that it's like, it's a slow build-up to build the power of the White Sword. And to me, that's fun. And again, at the same time, it's a bit anxiety-inducing because I want it now. But it was a cool idea to slowly build up the power of the sword to get to the Master Sword. And I mean, and that's its own thing, was the idea of literally building the Master Sword in that game. But it's cool that, unlike a Zelda game where it's just like, oh, you've beaten the third dungeon, you now get a stronger sword. And I mean, again, there's Twilight Princess right there, there's Ocarina of Time, there's Wind Waker, and Wind Waker does it a little bit differently as well, which I respect about Wind Waker as well. But it was a cool idea that you're slowly building up, and it's a process, so it's like a 5-step process. You start with the White Sword, then you get, like, I don't remember all the upgrade names, but, and it's like, there's 5 upgrades before you get the Master Sword. And there was this, hold on, I just lost my train of thought. And I really thought it was cool that, like, you slowly are building up to, you're slowly building up to that weapon. And again, I mean, that's just part of the reason why I did enjoy it. But, I mean, again, doesn't save the game. So, I talked about story. I talked about the idea of building up.
All right, let me talk a little bit about the story.
Yes.
While you're going on about that, before you get to your next point. about things you like about the game. So I would agree that the story is, you know, pretty good. You know, Shigeru Miyamoto said, you know, the character, he's called Link because he's supposed to be, like, your link between, like, the real world and, you know, the video game.
Yeah.
Link. So, like, it really was, like, you know, a Zelda game where, like, I actually felt a connection with Zelda. Like, I actually, like, felt like there was an actual, like, non-forced relationship between them.
Yeah.
So I would completely agree. And I'm not going to go reiterate over your points, but I would agree with, you know, generally most of what you said. However, I will state one negative thing about it.
Okay.
And this has nothing to do with the story itself, but it is something that I think detracted from it, and it really was the first time I found it noticeable in a Zelda game.
Okay.
Is the lack of voice acting in the game.
yeah.
Because, I mean, this point, we're like 2011, like, you know, like, games have voice acting, like, you know, we've had, like, The Elder Scrolls, we've had Oblivion, like, we're getting Skyrim, you know, we'll get Skyrim the year after. You know, we've already gone through the housing crisis. Like, everything is all right.
Sorry. Good.
But, you know, like, see, that's the problem with Nintendo. They're always, like, behind on things. Well, I love Nintendo, but, like, it would have done so good to have voice acting in the game. Like, okay, I get, like, Link, you know, the silent protagonist. That's fine. But, like, you know, actually hearing them, I felt, would have increased my immersion in the game. Whereas, you know, not hearing them really felt like, you know, it really took away from it. Because, you know, all other, you know, AAA games that are published, you know, at that point, they're all voice acting. Like, every game uses voice acting. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, Kingdom Hearts came out in, what, like, 2005?
No, the first one came out. Wow, man, the first one was, like, 2002, 2003.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess Kingdom Hearts 2, yeah. I'm guessing I'm getting my time confused, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that game had great voice acting. And then, like, now we're in 2011, and we're on, you know, a brand new system with, like, we're fighting against, like, the PS3 and the Xbox 360. And, I don't know, I just feel like there could have been voice acting, but Nintendo, you know, obviously went against it. Which is fine, they're Nintendo, they can do what they want, but I want it. So anyway, continue on to your second point.
So I've talked about those two things. I talked about how the story for the Zelda game's really good, and I totally agree with the idea that, like, for a game in 2011... there should be voice acting by now. And, I mean, even Mario, I guess, at that point would have voice acting by the time we got to Super Mario Sunshine. Like, Bowser had full voice acting and Bowser Jr. as well. But, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here. I'm sorry.
Better catch it.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm getting distracted here. So the last thing I want to say is, I guess, and I don't know how well this will support it, but I mean, like, the scale of the game felt, I don't know, like, the scale of the game and the repercussions, I don't know if that makes sense, like, the repercussions of the game, like, this whole idea that this, and I mentioned this before, but, like, it is the foundation for the rest of the series that, you know, this is the first time that anyone has apparently stepped foot on this world, and you're kind of adventuring through that. And don't get me wrong, the game's handheld, but it's interesting to note that it's like a forbidden land, and you're the only one that's really adventuring through it. And I mean, you're meeting all these different creatures along the way that in the Zelda series, most of them have never been seen before. And I mean, like, to those, I guess to that end, and like all these other things, like, there's that little homage to, I mean, it's like a small homage to the Wind, I'm sorry, I'm getting really distracted here. I guess it's like the homage to the Windfish in the game, which I thought was really cool from Link's Awakening, and all these other things. I mean, like, those things I think are really cool in the game, and it's really interesting. But overall, like, the controls kill me. The repetitiveness. And, you know, you touched upon something that I wanted to talk about when it came to the repetitiveness, which is that a lot of 3D Zelda games specifically are repetitive, but not in the way that Skyward Sword is. You know, and I'm going to switch to another Zelda game, and let me mention Wind Waker. Wind Waker's pretty repetitive as well. I mean, you're constantly having to go back to Dragon Roost Island, and you're also having to go back to where the Deku Tree is and talk to them. And that's fine, because you're not being pushed into an elaborate little, almost like mini game. And it's not even like a dungeon. It's nothing like that. Let me give a good example. Something that if I do decide to restart Skyward Sword that I'm dreading is the remix of the volcano area. I'm absolutely dreading that area because I think you lose your sword for a while, and if you're caught by a spotlight, you restart. It's something stupid. And I'm not looking forward to that. I think it's really a really big pain in the ass of an area. And I'm not looking forward to that. Because it's more of a hindrance than it is enjoyable. And, like, for me, you know, here's another example. And I am going to jump back to Ocarina of Time. Because is it wrong of me to use Ocarina of Time as, like, a gold standard in a way?
What 3D Zelda game should be.
And is it crazy to think that it's the fourth main title game? You know, and that I think is also really funny. Is it's the fourth main title game? I mean, what came before it? You had Zelda 2, Link to the Past, Link's Awakening, and then Ocarina. Then, you know, again, going back to Ocarina of Time, one of my favorite parts of Ocarina of Time was when you have to get ready for the Shadow Temple. And in order to progress the Shadow Temple, you need the Lens of Truth. In order to get the Lens of Truth, you have to travel back to when you're a kid, get the, first, I guess you'd have to travel to the Windmill, get the Song of Storms, then go to the past, play the Song of Storms, break open the well, and go to the bottom of the well, which is a mini dungeon, which I thought was awesome. I love the idea of there being a mini dungeon. You know, that's a cool idea.
Right.
But with Skyward Sword, again, here's what takes a game from being in the top three to, like, before the top 10 is the fact that you have a game that is repetitive, and I'm not even going to harp about the controls at this point, because the control issue, I guess, Nintendo, if they wanted to, could fix, and who knows, maybe Nintendo Switch will see Skyward Sword HD. You know, we might see Skyward
Sword.
It is a dream. We might see Skyward Sword HD with just, honestly, the game would have to be completely remade, though, and that's the problem. That's a problem itself. But a person can dream, I suppose. But imagine. I mean, I guess it could be done too. I wonder, does the screen have touch control or no? I don't think it does.
The Switch. I'm not sure. Actually, I think that.
Because if the Switch is.
It does.
Okay,
because
I was gonna say. Maybe it could work, so if, like, you swipe the screen certain ways for the sword strikes, but even that is a pain. But, anyway, if Skyward Sword didn't have all of the motion issues, and just talking about everything else, so I'll push aside motion issues, but the fact that returning to areas is not super enjoyable because it's, I don't know, man. Like, go ahead.
I think I just came up with a perfect pun that could perfectly, you know, describe, like, what I like and what I don't like about Skyward Sword. Skyward Sword has bad Wii motion, but it has good Wii motion.
Oh my god, that's so good! That honestly sums it up perfectly. And I mean,
doesn't it though?
It does. But the fact that for a Zelda game to be as repetitive as it is just brings the game down. And I mean, like, if I were to throw motion controls out the window, it still probably wouldn't even reach the top five because of the repetitiveness. And I mean,
right.
Don't get me wrong.
Actually,
go ahead.
What was that?
No, I was gonna say, like.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna take over.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we're gonna go back to Ocarina of Time for a second.
Fine.
Okay. So like you have Hyrule Field in Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
And like you get to all the different areas through Hyrule Field, which, you know, in terms of like game at this point, like yeah, the time it felt big, but you know, Hyrule Field isn't that big. It's not like Twilight Princess big.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it all felt like connected. Like it gave you, I don't know, it was the first time, like obviously like it's 1998 when the game came out. Like
wow.
It felt different. Whereas you know, you really felt a connection, at least in my opinion, to the game because, you know, you go, the first thing you do once you get out of the Kokiri Woods, you go all the way across Hyrule Field, which doesn't take very long, you really, you know, go throughout all of the Hyrule Field at some point. And that's a problem with Skyward Sword. Because, like, yeah, it should be super cool. Like, you should be, like, it should be awesome. Like, you're flying through the clouds. But, like,
it's all disconnected.
It's all just white and, like, not even white. Like, cream-colored and boring. And, like, the areas aren't, like, they're all disjointed from another.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is all disconnected. And, you know, I was trying to think of how to say that, but you've summed it up perfectly. Yeah, it's all disconnected from each other. So, in order for you to get from point, like, maybe you want to get from the woods to the mountains, you have to warp up to the sky, and then you have to fly over to the area where the mountain area is and drop down from there. And to me, it feels very disconnected. It feels disjointed.
Like, you wouldn't even believe that they could be part of the same, you know, land mass. Because
yeah,
they're in no way connected to each other. And, like, this is supposed to be, like, you know, Hyrule. Like, this is supposed to be, you know, the first time we're ever seeing, you know, what Hyrule was before.
It was Hyrule.
You know, like, this is the first game in the timeline. Like, and, you know, it just doesn't give you, yeah, like, I would say the sense of scope in the game is just all over the place. Like, sometimes you feel like, wow, I'm doing something really epic, and other times you're like, okay, now I gotta fly back up to the clouds so I can fly over from green place to red place.
Why am I collecting all this fruit?
What?
I said, why am I collecting all of this fruit? I think there's a
I do not know.
I think there is a subquest where you have to collect fruit at one point. It's like those.
Of course there is.
You remember the penguin things? Like the grass, the wood penguins? You have to like hide.
No, I have no idea.
It's right before the first dungeon. You have to find a bunch of like these penguin looking things. You have to find like three of them. And to me, why the hell am I playing hide and seek? You know, I'm supposed to be on this, like, crazy adventure, trying to save Zelda in the world, and all of a sudden I have this big, fat penguin thing saying, oh,
I'll only help you if you find my three buddies. And I'm like, so I'm essentially doing a much larger version of, and again, the Cuckoo Quest from Kakariko Village in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
What am I doing? This isn't even like a break from the action. This is the action. It's like the escalator ride. And it's like, when do we get to the ride? This is the ride. And I'm just like, oh. And I'm just like, oh, well, okay then. And the worst part is, every time you get, you're going to the next dungeon, you go on the escalator ride again. And it's just like, when do I get to the fun? This is the fun. And I'm like, oh. When do I get the real fun? You have to get past this fun first. And I'm just like, oh. So, I mean...
I'm an adult. I am an adult.
Seriously. Go ahead.
There's actually... I want to bring this up, because if I don't bring it up, I know I'm going to forget about it at some point. But there is one part of the game, like, that, like, is cool. And, like, I kind of, like 65%.
Yeah.
And that is the Silent Realm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
You know when you have to go around and, I guess it's like you can't make noise or something. Or if you do, you start getting, like, chased by, like, all these enemies.
Yeah,
the Silent Realm. Like, you have to collect, what are they? Teardrops or something.
Yeah, which I think they took from Twilight Princess.
Yeah, they did Twilight Princess. But that was cool. Like, that was the only time in the game where I was like, oh my god, like, I remember, like, being chased by one of those monsters, and I'm like, oh my god, this is terrifying. Like, yeah, that's cool, but, like, I don't know, the game, it just... disjointed, that's a good word.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of different things. And it's like, oh, you don't like this? How about this?
And I mean,
you don't
like
what's behind curtain one? Check behind curtain two.
It's the same shit right there. And don't get me wrong. Skyward Sword is not the only Zelda game guilty of this. Like, when I think of Twilight Princess, because I was just saying that, Twilight Princess, I hated the teardrop stuff. Like, I hated that. Yeah. And to me, that just felt like you're artificially extending the game because you want this to take more time. And it's like, no, it's really tedious. And that was something I loved about the HD version was they cut back on it. And they didn't make it as much of a pain in the butt. And, like, but that was the thing about Twilight Princess is after the first three dungeons... you get to use the wolf form on whenever you like. And that's when it becomes fun, jumping between Link and Wolf Link, is because Wolf Link can do things that regular Link can't. And there's different things that you'll need that for. Cool mechanic. And I think that's what Skyward Sword forgot to do, was it forgot to say, let's make the mechanic actually fun to do. And it never got to that. It never was able to do that. And, I mean, we could spend hours talking about motion controls, but I think the biggest hindrance with Skyward Sword, and, I mean, most people, is the fact that it's more repetitive than any Zelda game out there. And, I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm looking at this with, maybe I'm looking at this with, like, a lot of, just negativity at the moment. And I know you're gonna say, no, you're looking at it the best way possible. But...
excellent.
But the thing is, unlike other Zelda games where it combines repetitive nature into, like, better mechanics, I mean... you're going to go back to Death Mountain every time in Ocarina of Time. You're going to go back from the beginning, then you're going to go back as Adult Link. But when you're Adult Link, you have new abilities. You have new items, different items that you weren't able to use before, and you have different dungeons that you're going through, different areas that you couldn't get to before. And that's awesome.
And that you knew existed.
But you just couldn't get to because you weren't powerful enough.
Right, you weren't big.
Exactly.
You know.
It was big.
Like that movie, Big. Like, I just want to be big. And then, like, all right, here's your fire soup. Go in the volcano.
Yeah. But, I mean, go ahead. Go ahead.
You kind of brought up a good point, like, a minute or two ago. And it was, it's kind of like, it's like Jurassic Park. Like, Nintendo was so busy, like, determining if they could do something that they weren't really thinking, like, if they should do it, you know. You know, like, yeah, you can make a game where, you know, you collect fruit and you have motion control and you fly a bird. But, like, should they have used all that? I don't know. Like, couldn't they have designed something other than motion controls? Like, couldn't they have designed, like, a pro controller type, you know, system? I mean, I get, like, the swipes and all that would have been different.
Yeah.
But it really does take you out of the game. Like,
it does.
Like, a game, like, you shouldn't have to think about the controls, I feel, you know, for the most part. Whereas, like, this game, like, I'm always aware that I'm swinging around my remote like an idiot trying to attack Ghirahim. And, yeah, it just, I don't know. Even with a strong story, like,
yeah,
the controls made me feel disconnected. The repetitiveness just made me turned off to the rest of the game. And overall, I hate Skyward Sword.
And, you know, like, if I were to rate the game, and I want to get to something in a second, but if I were to rate the game on different categories, like, I would rate story in my top three. I love the story of Skyward Sword. I loved it. It's one of my favorite Zelda stories. But when I give a story, like, maybe a 10 out of 10, and I give everything else, like, I give controls a 1 out of 10, and I give the gameplay itself, like, a 4 out of 10, it brings it down and hampers it so much. And I mean, you know, I'm honestly, and this is something I wanted to mention that I was thinking about before, but I love the fact that Skyward Sword got, like, perfect 10 out of 10s by most reviewers. And it's mainly because it's a Zelda game. And it's like,
yeah.
And, you know, it's not a 10 out of 10. And I think Nintendo has realized that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD as control pad games. We would have gotten them as, you need a Wiimote to play these games because you gotta start swinging that thing around.
Yeah.
Especially Twilight Princess HD, because they could have easily just been, oh, let's just put the Wii port of the game on with better graphics. Instead, they took the GameCube port, which I shouldn't even call it the port. They took the original version of the game, and they improved upon it. And they just made the graphics better. They put in the extra dungeons, and they put in the stickers. And, I mean, I envy people who are able to get the GameCube version of Twilight Princess, because that thing goes for tons of money now, because it's the original version of the game that they planned, and there's a reason why Link is right-handed in the Wii version and not the GameCube version. Hashtag Link has always been left-handed.
He's all right. Hashtag Link is all right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, that was the weirdest thing. Okay. All right, let's finish up. I want to talk a little bit about Twilight Princess HD. Just for, like, a couple quick seconds. But
yeah,
in terms of all, I hate Skyward Sword. You don't hate it, but you find qualities in it you like and qualities you dislike.
Yeah, I guess as the years go on, I get more and more bitter about it because I think about how awesome of a game it could have been. So I guess, like, as the years go on, I get more and more bitter about Skyward, but there's still that part of me that's like, there's a good game hiding in there. You just have to clear out all the crap first to find it. But go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say about Skyward, and I think we need to wrap up for tonight. But go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say about Skyward.
Skyward or Twilight Princess?
Twilight. I'm sorry. Twilight Princess.
Oh, okay. So the thing that's interesting now that you were mentioning about Twilight Princess HD.
Yeah.
Is okay. So I played this game when it came out, like in 2006
November,
and then I replayed it again last year, so 2016.
Yeah.
So like it had been 10 years. And like Zelda games generally stick with me, and I remember a lot of it. And I remembered a lot of Twilight Princess generally.
Yep.
But it was in my mind like
a new experience.
It was almost like a new experience. And it was only because, and it's so random and like sorry to think about. It's because everything in the game was flipped.
Yep.
From when I first played it.
Yep.
And it's so weird to me
it
in
is.
My head.
Because I always
like,
remember.
I know where things should be, and like I remember how they looked, and then I'm like, wait, this is the opposite.
Yep, because I'm like, oh, Kakariko Village is over on the left side of Hyrule Field. Oh, wait, no, it's not. It's over on the right side now.
Yeah.
And can I also mention, again, because I'm currently playing Twilight Princess right now. I've had the game since it came out on the Wii U, but I too got my Wii on launch, Twilight Princess with it, and Red Steel, of course. But
of course, Red Steel.
Hashtag Red Steel for days. But when I think back to Twilight Princess and how hyped I was for this game, and just playing through it now, I have to say, Twilight Princess has so many different things that I love about it. And I was a little bit intimidated just before we started talking tonight. I was playing through the Temple of Time dungeon, which, again, one of the coolest ideas for a dungeon. Not the best dungeon, but I will say, as I'm playing through it on the HD version, I had a much better experience playing through that dungeon than, like, I remembered it. I always remembered that dungeon sucking. And that dungeon wasn't as bad. This is my, I think my third or fourth time playing through Twilight Princess. And I enjoyed that dungeon. Because I wasn't hampered by motion controls for the most part.
I agree. When I replayed Twilight Princess HD, I had a lot better time than I did when I first played through it, the game originally. And I think it all came down to maybe I just got tired of the Wii Remote.
Yeah.
And I know it was the first game I played, but, yeah. It just, I don't know.
And
like,
go ahead.
It just comes down to it, like, the end of the day, like, the controls are just, like, your way of, like, interacting with the game. Like, to have, like, a full experience. And then, you know, swinging a Wii Remote around, like, really breaks you from the game. I feel. Because, like, when I'm pressing buttons, I'm not even, like, thinking about that I'm pressing the buttons. Like, it's, like, second nature, where it's, like, the Wii Remote, like, I'm aware that I'm swinging it around.
yeah.
Like, and that's the problem I have, I guess, with Twilight Princess and more, like, 1,000 times more Skyward Sword. Is the shoehorned motion controls. Because, like, I don't know, like a spin-off Zelda game. Like, wouldn't it be cool? Like, you just have a Zelda game where, like, it's just all sword fights. Like, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Like, if they made a Legend of Zelda game that was like Ghirahem sword training, that would be killer. That would be awesome. If it's just about sword fighting, and I mean,
right.
That would be fun. But when you make it. When you make Ghirahem sword training into a 40-hour game that's all about you make sure you hold the controller the right way and make sure you swing your hand the right way. If you're a little bit off, then you're not going to kill that enemy and you're going to take another hit. Then I got a problem with that. It is no use. It's no use because, you know, by the time I'm realizing, oh, wait, the enemy just turned 90 degrees and my horizontal slice is not going to do anything. I've taken a hit. And there's another couple minutes down the drain. And, I mean, like I said, Skyward Sword, it's just, it's smothered in garbage. And I just don't know if, I mean, again, as the years go on, I'm losing more and more reasons why I should clear away the trash to find the gold inside. Because, but the thing is, the gold is so nice. It's so pretty and shiny. And it's, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, if it wasn't a Zelda game, I don't know if I would take, I don't know if I would do this. But because it's a Zelda game, and maybe it's just because I'm a fanboy, which obviously I am, that I'm willing, to smear away the shit. And I mean, you are too, in the respect that you've come back to it at least once a year for the past couple of years, except for, what, the past 2 years, you were just like, I can't do this anymore.
Years, like, I've touched it.
Yeah, and it's like, but, you know, and here's the hope, and I mean, I guess this is going to be final remarks for the night, unless you have anything you'd like to add before I jump into this.
Actually...
Yes.
One point about Skyward Sword is that I agree. My favorite part about Skyward Sword is the gold inside. And by that, I mean the gold Wii remote that came with my game. That's the gold inside.
That was eloquently put. That was beautiful, by the way. That was absolutely pure gold.
Gold remote, 10 out of 10.
Gold Sky remote, 10 score, out of 10.
Skyward scored too much sky, 7.8 out of 10.
You can only get that remote through that game, and hey, I still have my gold nunchuck just like you.
Me too, and the gold controller that you get from the James Bond game that I didn't even buy.
My brother has that, by the way.
I had to have it.
My brother has that, by the way. I have to get that off him. But, nice. But, for my final remarks, and hopefully we'll end on a good note here, for the final remarks for tonight, because we're, oh wow, we're like an hour and 12 into this, so this is the perfect time for yeah, I know. So this is the perfect time for final remarks here. I will say that as we approach the big Switch release, which is going to be coming out in, gosh, 11 days? About 11 days from now?
Yeah, 11 days!
11 days from now, and I've already taken off of work the Monday after the system comes out, because I'm having it come in the mail, so it's like, there's no point for me to take off the Friday it comes out. I'm gonna take off that Monday, because I got an extra day off at work. But...
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, that's its own story, which I'll talk to you about. I don't think I need to let all the crazy people out here listening to it know about what happened.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. I will say, as we approach the launch, I'm very excited because I feel like Nintendo has listened to a lot of the things that consumers, players, and the audience have wanted. I mean, like, when I look at the trailer to Skyward Sword, I mean, the game has been rumored to be bigger than Skyrim at this point. It's bigger than Skyrim. It is more open world than any Zelda game out there before. And I mean, we are, at this point, to me, coming back to the original roots of what Miyamoto intended the game to be, which is an adventure. You playing this game and you experiencing your own adventure. And yes, there's a story, and obviously there's going to be a little... I'm obviously assuming there's going to be some kind of hand-holding in there. But, you know, I'm very excited for this idea of, you know, you experiencing the wild openness of this game. And just from what I've seen, I think this will take the spot as the most emotional Zelda game out there. Because just from some screenshots and some of the trailers, just like, you know, what you see of Link and Zelda in this game, it's just like, you know, I'm at the edge of my seat and I'm already getting goosebumps just thinking about what is just around the corner for us. Dr. Stevie, what would you like to say as your final remarks on that topic?
All right, my final remarks are, I am very excited for the Nintendo Switch to come out.
Same.
I am itching. I keep forgetting February only has 28 days, so it's even closer than I think.
Hey!
Thank God. And if I could sum up Skyward Sword in one phrase that all begins with S's, it's Stevie says Skyward Sword still sucks.
And let me just say, there's a beautiful, beautiful alliteration. And honestly,
thank you.
I think the two of us can only hope that Skyward Sword is, I mean, Skyward Sword, Jesus Christ. The two of us can only hope that Breath of the Wild is the Zelda game that Nintendo has listened to fan remarks to. Not critic remarks, because critics love Skyward Sword, you know, but that fans have asked for. And I think that's what Breath of the Wild is going to be. And I just hope, and I don't think we are going to get it, but I hope we don't get Skyward Sword 2 out of this. I think what we're going to get, I mean, I guess it's the hope of any 3D Zelda game at this point, is the Ocarina of Time killer.
Yeah.
Because as much as we keep saying it when games come out, and I guess any Zelda game needs a couple weeks to digest after you've played through it and beaten it, is you need that time to decompress and take everything in. Because for me personally, nothing has beaten Ocarina of Time in the scale of what it's accomplished. I mean, like, Twilight Princess, outstanding game, amazing. But it'll never beat the original concept of, for me at least, Ocarina of Time. And again, I can talk about the problems Ocarina of Time has, and that's an entire other video.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an entire other video. I'm not going to start that there because it's got its problems. And I'm not even talking about a game from 1998 problems. I'm talking about as a whole. But there has yet to be a Zelda, for me, upon reflection, that has beaten the awe of Ocarina. And that's what I'm hoping, as every other Zelda fan, I'm guessing, is hoping, that Breath of the Wild can do.
Me too.
I hope
it's more like A Link Between Worlds than Skyward Sword.
As many people are, my man, as many people are. Dr. Stevie, anything you'd like to say to the audience before we cut it?
Well, no, but I do have one thing to say to you, Mr. Boyd.
What's that?
Two things.
What?
I have two things. The first being, I think next time we, you know, join for a little Dr. Stevie and Mr. Boyd. It's kind of like, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Of course.
That's pretty funny. Maybe next time we gather to chat, we should talk about something right before the Switch comes out, and that would be the legacy of the Wii U. We can talk about what we like, what we don't like about the system. What do you think?
I think that's actually a fantastic idea. I love
kinda
that, like a, by the way.
Kind of like a jump into the Switch.
Mm.
And the second thing is, I want to say thank you, Mr. Boyd, and all of our wonderful audience out there for listening to me rant about how much I hate Skyward Sword tonight.
I
appreciate it. You know what they say, give anything a platform, it'll talk for hours.
Well, here's the soapbox, right? But for real, thank you for everybody for listening to Dr. Stevie and Mr. Boyd's first podcast together. This is Omnios Triceratops, as we're calling it. And hopefully in the future, as we keep going, we'll mention the backstory of that wonderful, amazing thing. I think that'll be a gigantic crossover if we ever do that. But with that, and I think that'd be an awesome idea for the next podcast we do, talking about the legacy of the Wii U. I totally agree. But with that, we're going to cut it here. This is Mr. Boyd telling you, stay classy out there. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Dr. Stevie, what do you got to say to all the honeys out there?
Stay beautiful, honeys.
All right, take it easy, everybody. All right. And till the next time.
Thank you, guys.
Later.
And girls.